With genetic disorders, one concern is that when the damage caused by a particular disease has peaked early on in development, even while a baby could be still in the womb. With such conditions, the use of gene therapy before birth could improve a child's life expectancy, which is a field that Simon Waddington from University College London is working on. Hello, Simon.
Hello there.
So you were telling us just now about your top sort of picks from the conference, but tell us about your normal life. I mean, what's your research actually looking at? What are you doing?
So one of the things that we look into is the concept of delivering the genes in utero, in other words, before birth. Because there are many diseases, many genetic diseases, where the onset is very early and can be lethal. So in other words, the baby is actually born with a genetic disease, and that genetic disease has already damaged the baby's tissues to the extent that you can't reverse the illness. And so what we're looking at is the idea of actually of treating or preventing the disease from ever occurring by transplanting the genes while the baby is in the mother's tummy.
How would you make the diagnosis? How would you know the baby has or is destined to get the condition?
So that is a very interesting question. I think that the first thing to say about this is that quite often a family has a baby, finds out the baby has a genetic disease, and the child may then die. And then we know, of course, that the parents are carriers of the disease, and so that actually is one way to then start to screen for the disease. Another thing to say is that for many diseases that are early and lethal, genetic testing is not performed because there is no treatment, and so there is not the same sort of driver to actually to test the whole population. However, the improvements that we see in genetic testing now, the speed of the technology and the accessibility of the technology mean that we can screen for a lot more genetic diseases a lot less expensively. The other thing is that over the past couple of years, there's been some very exciting developments where you can actually isolate cells that are circulating in the mother's circulation, but they actually come from the fetus. And so you can isolate those cells, and then you can actually test the genetics of the fetus without actually interfering, sticking a needle into the fetus at all.
So you could do genetic diagnosis from nothing more than just a maternal blood sample.
That's
this
right.
Will give you some warning, especially if you know it might be an at-risk population.
Yes, that's right.
But is doing gene therapy on an unborn baby just the same as doing gene therapy on person who's actually, say, an adult? Is there a different constraint entirely in trying to do that? Will the techniques that we're investigating in petri dishes and in adults actually apply in utero?
So in one sense, actually, is that at least in our research, it's easier to deliver the genes to a fetus than it is to an adult, because an adult has already, the immune system has already seen these viruses, and you've actually developed an antivirus immunity. And one has to bear in mind that many gene therapy vectors are based upon an archetypal virus. So that's one problem that we avoid by going in early into the fetus. The other point is that you can actually put more copies, more genes into the fetus, and therefore you might actually be able to get a wider distribution in the fetus too. But I think that one of the things that we have to consider is that you're actually dealing with two patients. Of course, you've got to consider the health of the mother as well as the fetus. And this is something that we've obviously been considering in our research over the past 10 years.
How do you do your research? Because it's already a very emotionally charged area,
yes,
looking at pregnancy and children that haven't been born yet that might have a problem. Is there an animal model that you can use which will give you a sort of faithful representation of what might happen in a human?
We work primarily with mouse models, and so we're able to deliver the genes into the fetal mouse by the same routes as one would be able to do a blood sample in a fetal human. So obviously is that the mouse model is a long way away from the human in terms of physiology. But the principles are the same, all the scale. And I think we're seeing this through the various gene therapy trials that are being performed anyway, is that you have to test the safety of these in lower animal models before you scale it up to human beings.
So what techniques are you investigating that you're trying to use?
So what we're looking at, for example, is that we've been interested in neurodegenerative diseases. And so one particular interest of ours is Gaucher disease, which is a deficiency in the enzyme glucocerebrosidase. And humans with the severe form of this disease, called neuropathic Gaucher disease, they will only expect to live for 2 years after birth. We have a mouse model of this where the mice only live for 14 days after birth. And so we're using a vector called AAV9, which is adeno-associated virus 9, And people found a couple of years ago that when you injected this into the circulation, it could cross the blood-brain barrier and could actually deliver the genes to the central and peripheral nervous system. And this is the main problem with neuropathic Gaucher disease, is you can't get anything into the brain. And so we're hoping to be able to deliver additional copies of glucocerebrosidase in order to at least cure the mouse model.
And the fact that you're going into a brain which is smaller than it will be when you're trying to cure a much bigger child or adult makes it easier, because you're able to hit cells when they're at the stem cell stage, so then all of the daughter cells will inherit that change,
well,
will they?
Well, the thing is actually, of course, with the brain is that at birth, you're not actually adding any more cells or not adding many more cells to your brain. Your nerves, your neurons are already in place. So we are using a vector that doesn't integrate itself into the host genome. But actually, because your brain is no longer dividing, these vectors can then stay around for the rest of the lifetime.
So you should get lifelong protection.
That's right, yes.
Any risks?
I think as a community, we've always been very aware of any potential risks. So the risks in terms of fetal gene transfer would be that you are also putting a needle into the mum. There's always a small but still actual risk of damaging the fetus or causing birth.
Are you physically injecting this into the bloodstream of the fetus? Well, is that what you've got to do to get it into the brain? How are you doing
that? That's right. I mean, one of the big problems actually with brain gene therapy has been that you actually have to stick a needle into the brain in multiple sites, because it doesn't spread through the brain naturally. Whereas these new and exciting vectors, you can put it into the bloodstream, and then it can actually deliver genes throughout the entire brain and through the spinal cord. So there's some exciting work coming out on spinal muscular atrophy in mouse models, and actually in larger animal models. In the mouse model, they cured the disease, the spinal muscular atrophy, which was completely stunning. And so these researchers are actually now looking at the larger models before considering clinical trials.
I think I went to that lecture this morning. I was pretty blown away. You're absolutely right. Simon Waddington from University College London, who's with us for the rest of the programme. He's standing by to answer some of the huge array of Facebook questions that are piling in. It's the facebook.com/thenakedscientists if you want to get in touch with us via that route.
Lifting the lab coat on the world's best science, The Naked Scientists.